times I fucking pound. I worked in a fucking liquor store at 34 because all these fucking 27 year olds are like, why am I not a fucking trillionaire?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like,
because
you're fucking 27.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and they've had 6 seconds
to play
down.
This fucking game.
Like, the amount of people, dude, the amount of people who come through Barstool, email, come through, call in, and they say, like, I've got what it takes. I want to do it. I'm going to work so hard at it. I want to be like you. And we're like, cool, do it. Write a blog. Start a podcast.
They don't.
They give up in a fucking 2 days, dude. Like, 2 days. I'm like, do this for 4 years straight with no feedback, no money, no nothing, and then we can start talking.
People
and
like, I want to be famous. I want to live a 1% life. I'm like, eat shit for a decade.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? I'm like, you want to live 1% life?
Attention is the number one asset.
Vayner Nation, how are you? I'm really excited. This is pretty important. I have three incredible friends with me. This is actually where I'm thinking about going with my podcast. Obviously, a lot of you know that, listen, a lot of my podcast is chopped up from the stuff we're filming, from talks or me moving because I'm busy and I'm not really allocating time to create. On the flip side, there's a part of me as I head into 2024 that really misses creating because you're of the moment, you're of the second, the stuff you do. I mean, you're on fucking Instagram in 1 second after something happens in sports and you got your take. And there's a lot going on with my VFriends thing. For the people watching on Twitch right now, big shout out. I'm actually going to use this to build up Twitch as well and start being live on Twitch when I do my podcast. And we're going to call it Podcast with Friends. And what we're going to do is me and my crew, Tyler, Zach, Dio, a lot of us, Sam, she's always out there. Like, a lot of us are always just watching and cheering for the people that we're going to have on the show. So we've done this in the past. I've done podcasts with two or three or four people at the same time, mixed from different places. But I have even more clarity on why I like it. I was giving a keynote at VCon, August 8th to the 11th, 2024. Go to vcon.co to check it out. It's going to be in LA this year. Everybody needs to come through. But I said something there off the cuff that said, my real passion is that strangers become acquaintances, acquaintances become friends, and then friends become family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of what I'm thinking about with this podcast. What we're going to be doing going forward a lot more often, maybe even once or twice a week, is I'm gonna do an original podcast live, fresh, of the topics, like the Jets lost to the Raiders, they're about to play the Bills up in Buffalo, like this will air before that, like in that week, fresh. And more importantly, I'm hoping that for you, the audience, a lot of these people will go from being a stranger to an acquaintance. For some of you that have seen them, you've seen them, but now you're more into acquaintance to friend. For some of you that are hardcore fans of these people, the way we all chop up in this unique format may lead from friends to family, like you like them more. And then for the three individuals that join me, I'm just hoping that they connect with their people and something happens.
Yep. Da, da, da. Yeah, the game, man.
And so we're here, episode one of Podcast with Friends, and we're gonna introduce these friends to you, Vayner Nation. We're gonna start here, ladies first, always to the left. Please tell everybody who you are, what you do. Then we're all gonna just chop it up, and then all of you are gonna ask me a question at the end for a Q&A session. Please be very selfish about that, because I want it to be good for your career or your life or whatever the fuck you care about.
Hmm.
Let's rock and roll.
Okay, well, I like the ladies first. My name's Law, since for ladies always win, so ladies first and ladies always win. I'm a singer, a songwriter, so I create music, I have a podcast, I am an influencer. I really like to think of myself as a communicator, and I kind of just have different platforms and ways that I
communicate
my messages. But music is definitely my greatest gift and my loudest communication right now, so that's kind of what I do.
And where'd you grow up?
I grew up in upstate New York, so in Kingston.
Love it.
Yeah.
Born and raised.
Well, I was born like 20 minutes around there, but I was there like all of, you know, first grade through 12.
And you always wanted to sing?
Or
that came later?
No, I always wanted to be a singer from like I started playing piano when I was 4.
Okay.
And like literally this blonde hair.
Yes.
I saw Hannah Montana.
Yes.
Like literally the episode where she was like jumping on the bed with the red white guitar, which I literally won from Six Flags.
And you're like that.
I was like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And then like, I kind of was just like, I always knew. I went to high school and I got into fights with my guidance counselor every week because she was like, you know, SATs and you got to go to college. And I was like, I'm going to be a pop star. And you know, that wasn't.
And here we are.
Yeah, but here we are, right? And now I'm sitting talking to Gary Vee.
I love it.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It works.
My man.
I'm Kevin Clancy. People call me KFC or KFC Barstool. I started Barstool in New York, the New York branch of everything at Barstool in 2009, where we were just blogging at the time. We were just writing all day long, 10 or 15 posts a day. And then I jumped on the podcast wave. I knew that was going to be the next big thing for Barstool. So I've been doing my podcast there since 2012. And then, you know, video after that, which is my video series on social media called 1 Minute Man. So we kind of do all of it.
You're proud of that 1 Minute Man?
Fuck yeah, man. Love it.
What do you think about that, that brand positioning?
I don't even know what that is, to be honest with you.
Well, you know what a 1 Minute Man is in real life, right?
Like, no.
Someone who lasts 1 minute. Like,
it's like sexually. Yeah. This is like me all the time, though. People say things and I'll be like,
no, lost focus on task at hand, not your dirty head.
Yeah. And so now, I mean, I've been there, you know, almost like 15 years, 14 years, whatever. So,
and now it's an iconic brand versus
it's crazy, dude. You
know, when you're a grandpa, you're going to be talking about it and they're going to know what it is versus even when we met, you guys were still on the come up.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I mean, I never, ever thought it was going to be like this. I was happy. I just wanted to get a job that was not a job.
Yeah.
Like, I just wanted to talk sports or shoot the shit or something. And I was born in the Bronx, New York guy, like through and through.
Right. So like Mike and the Mad Dog. Joe Beningo, the dog.
Like, yeah. Mike and Dog were like my thing.
Yeah.
You know, Boomer and Carton, all those guys. Mm-hmm. I went to Fordham and that has, I believe, the best radio and communications program in the country. Syracuse, some people say. I think it's Fordham.
A lot of people from my high school went to Fordham.
Yeah. And if you're
which one's considered more bougie and which one's considered more street?
What, between what?
Fordham and Syracuse.
I don't know the answer to that.
Are both bougie comm schools?
Probably.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a, you know, yeah, it's they not
both
exactly
considered good comm schools.
Yeah, but I think, you know,
from Fordham that I know so many people from Fordham.
There's a lot. Yeah. I mean, if you look at sports media, it's, you know, Mike Green, Ian Eagle.
A lot of athletes come from Syracuse, though.
Yes.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
That's not even close.
Right.
The guys that talk about it. Yeah. The nerds are over here. The guys who play it, you know.
No, Q's got both.
Yeah. Well, okay. But I would say with Fordham being totally. But I think, I mean, when you're at Fordham, you get to cover the Mets, the Jets, the Nets. You are in.
Would you fight a Fordham sportscaster in a fight to settle this? Like, can I put on a
Syracuse broadcaster?
Yeah, but like a Syracuse. No. Can I get you and a Cuse podcaster sports personality to fight to settle this very challenging thing that we've all been trying to figure out, which is who's got a better broadcast school, Fordham or Syracuse?
We have the program for that.
Hold on. Twitch, big shout out to all of you. Get ready. It's coming. We're going to use this podcast. Thank you for being here. Johnny V, what's good? Aquabums, what's good? Stunt, Tuck NFT, what's good? Studio Steve, what's good? So no, you're not into that.
No, but you know what? We have at Barstool, we have Rough and Rowdy, which is our amateur boxing federation.
By the way, and I've said this to Dave. I've said this to you. I think maybe even on the podcast when I was on with you a couple years ago. Forever, I will say this: Rough and Rowdy was the seed of what's happening now.
100%.
The Paul brothers,
celebrity boxing. Yeah, 100%.
Rough and Rowdy.
Yep.
Now, one could argue Kimbo Slice, and that was the seed before Rough and Rowdy. Oh,
totally.
But Rough and Rowdy was a fucking pay-per-view.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think this is lost in history.
Mm-hmm.
I mean this.
Yeah.
I think certain things get lost in history.
Yep. Like, sometimes when you're the first, you're a little too early.
But things move so fast nowadays.
Yeah. But you know what? Sometimes you want to talk about, like, people know I was an early investor in Facebook and Twitter. I don't talk enough about that I started a YouTube show 8 weeks after YouTube launched.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
8 weeks after YouTube launched.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, that's not on my resume that all of you walk around knowing, like, yo, Gary Vee was like early actual real YouTuber.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I let that get lost in history. Yeah. I'm trying to recoup it right now.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You know, but like, you see now.
Put it on the top of the resume.
Anyway, brother, I'm glad you're on.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Especially, I want to talk a little bit. Michael Carter got cut, who I love with all my heart, but a lot going on in our Jets land.
Yeah.
All right, my man.
Dale Moss, former NFL wide receiver. A lot of people know.
Did you say Randy Moss?
I wish. That was the comparison often. Former NFL wide receiver, transitioned out of sports. Now sports and entertainment host. A lot of people know me from the reality world. But since, you know, my main focus now is filmmaking.
Okay.
I'm currently producing, developing 3 docuseries, working with Radical Media, Academy Award winning production company.
Great company.
And doing a lot of things, you know, as a creator, again, covering NFL games. Sports is near and dear to my heart, but storytelling is a passion of mine. And I think
Together, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. I feel like for so long in my life, I was so afraid to share my own story that I grabbed. So I grew up in South Dakota, okay. Small town Midwest.
So you needed to be humble, right? You didn't do that kind of shit, or was it something else?
No, it was, I think, so my mom's side disowned her because of biracial marriage.
I see.
Very isolated community. Sports was my pathway to break through so many barriers.
It was your safe place.
But, you know, my family structure was very strong. My dad suffered pretty heavily from heroin addictions. You know, was in and out of prison until the time I was 21. But even with all those things that occurred, like we were raised right, you know, our love and support from our family was unconditional. But I know that like everything I did as I was growing up, I was so, everyone judged me, right? Or they were just waiting for something to happen because at that point, if I fucked up.
They, I think your mom's side of the family?
I think just the community I was in.
Right, which was the broader version of your mom's side of the family. Makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes sense.
You know, so again, South Dakota, you know, I was only black kid in my school for till the time I was in high school. But I had this fear of if I made a mistake, everything everyone ever thought about my family or myself
would then be true.
It would be true.
So you went the other way.
God damn, that's a big burden to carry.
So. Yeah.
And Kevin, you know what? It's funny. Like, this is like what's so interesting about life. Like, what I'm excited about to get into these episodes, and I appreciate you going there right off the bat. Like, we all have that. Mm-hmm. Like, this concept of judgment is something I'm spending a lot of time thinking about.
Yeah.
Like, y'all know my content. Like, I'm trying to get people to understand what's actually going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, judgment's a killer. Mm-hmm. Like, think about, and by the way, listening to his story, we all know kids go extreme one way or the other on that.
Yeah.
Oh, fine.
You either like, I'm never gonna make a fucking mistake to show y'all, or I'm like, or you go, fuck it, it doesn't matter. No matter what I do, you're always gonna judge me, so fuck it, I'm just gonna make mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's only one answer to that.
Yeah.
They're on two sides of the pillow,
right?
But they're gonna be fucking extreme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Either or.
And, but I will say, you know, as time went on, like, you learn to let go of those things, but I'm grateful for how I grew up, how I was raised, and it's allowed me.
Do you think your adversities are your foundation?
100%.
Yeah.
I remember there one time. Again, I came. You know, a lot of people know me from the reality world.
Yeah. Tell everybody about that, because there's gonna be a lot of people. You mentioned it. Just again, there's gonna be so many people that listen to this show over the next year or two. Like, a lot of them won't know who you are from that world. So bring it down. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I was on The Bachelorette in 2020 during the pandemic.
Right, so that small show.
Yeah. So
pretty sure.
So everyone knows that's
most watched reality show in the history of television.
Yes.
Also, I had a very unique experience because you know, on my season, the lead at the time decided to stop the show, and we ended up leaving together early. Which, you know, I never
It's like reality TV Hall of Fame material.
I
know what you're talking
about. It had never
happened. Like,
dude.
Not in full detail, but I'm like, yep, I remember that shit. You know, cause I'm like, every second.
Yeah, I heard about a season of The Bachelor ending that way.
Yeah.
Cause I don't really watch.
Yeah, that was my season.
So this is ironic.
But it's
funny.
You
can see it. Look at the face.
I was gonna say, if I had a chance to stop the show and just take this motherfucker home, I would too.
Motherfucker, I'm stopping this podcast right now. Yeah,
let's go.
See everyone, have a great time.
I look like that.
But you know, that goes back to like wanting to do things right? I had this naive belief that you could make it work with anybody. And I think sometimes when you have that approach, just because of what my mom and my sisters had to go through, I wanted to be that so badly for someone else and solve the problems.
Superhero.
Exactly. Yeah, and a lot of men have that
shit in me too.
Yeah. But you can lose yourself in that. But I will 100%. Say that's the greatest experience I ever had. You know, I grew a lot from it. I went through some shit in the media, but I never compromised my character and integrity.
It taught you about yourself for you too. You're still young.
And
how old are you?
The world can love you.
How old are you?
35.
Yeah, you're a young dude. This is a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, three now. Yeah,
so like you learn a lot about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can be, the world can love you and something happens and then it changes overnight. But I think anytime you go through something like that, especially with millions of people kind of watching every move, and you can maintain your integrity and who you are and not lose yourself.
Let's actually go around here a little bit with like, back to like what I want to do with this. I'm gonna, there's probably gonna be, this is so fun because I like to like improv and innovate in real time on the show. So much of like, even see what I have on the table with B Friends. Like, I was like, you know what? This will work for me because I'm on this journey of building my Pokemon Marvel Sesame Street called B Friends.
I got the panda.
Thank you,
Yeah, I got the bulldog and someone else. I think the cow.
It's common sense. I made the cow common sense because I believe it's really underrated, and I know that cows are popular. Mm-hmm. So like there's like I
love cows. This is why I'm doing this. Every day on my story, I post a cow. It's like my dream to have
cow swag. Let's do that.
So now no one can judge me.
Actually, open this pack of cards to see if you pull out common sense cow. Go ahead.
If this is a cow, I'm gonna think that this was Max Major, and I'm gonna freak out. I'm gonna literally scream, and all these windows are gonna break. And now I'm scared. Oh,
actually,
man.
I'm gonna go around the horn right now and ask. Actually, let's see what you pulled. Let's see.
Okay, we have. Is this a bass fish?
No, that you can read it. It's at the top. I think it's a brilliant barracuda.
Barracuda. Okay. The woke walrus. Uh-huh. I relate to that. I just walrus energy. Karma kiwi.
I'm big on karma.
Oh my gosh, she's cute. Okay. Persistent penguin. That's me.
That's you right there?
Yeah.
It's a rookie card too. Wasn't in series one. All right. Listen, doing a little nerdy stuff like that. Okay, real quick. Around the horn. Now that we're talking about this, and I'm going to do this on every episode. Team, keep me honest on this. One or two words that you think most describe you, who you are as you sit with me today.
Jesus.
Yes. Law?
Gary, I've never been to therapy, so that's a deep ass question.
Yeah, honestly, I like this stuff. Yeah, like just like honestly, real talk. Like, and by the way, like, you know, sometimes people can answer like, you know, right away. And, you know, I'm doing this right now to give you a little time, but like,
They have a little time, not me. I'm right
ladies
next
first.
To you.
It's, you know, what word or two do you think most describe you right now?
I was actually thinking about getting this tattooed.
That's deep.
Yeah,
so
right.
So this really resonates with you.
Yeah. What? I would say resilient. I've like learned that that's like my superpower is that like every time I'm going through something super hard, I'm like kind of just like, oh, like I don't give up very easily. And I kind of like would just like, like whatever. Like I'm just like good at dealing with bullshit, I guess. But then I realized like, wow, like I just don't stop. And like that's kind of why I've been able to get where I'm going.
I admire resilience a lot. It's funny with Be Friends, one of the things I'm trying to do is change the narrative on things.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So the mascot of my entire IP, the Mickey Mouse, the Pikachu, is the very, 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 very lucky black cat.
Yep.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
And so resilience is something I really admire. And it's funny, I don't like that, like, not that I like the devil, no, don't worry everybody, but like, I'm trying to do some contradictions. So in V-Friends world, the resilient is the resilient red devil.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm trying to change some conversations, dig a little bit deeper. I love resilience, I love that. My man, where are you at right now?
I'm in the same place I'm always in. I'm always trying to be what's next, you know? Okay. Like
innovative?
I guess so.
Curious?
Yeah, I mean, like I was blogging when that was new. I started the podcast.
I know your career well. I'm a fan.
Yeah, like
adaptive, innovative, curious, all.
Probably all. I hesitate to use the word trailblazer because I think it's dramatic. Mm-hmm. But what I have always done.
It would also be douchey of you to say that, right?
Right.
Now. Yeah. Don't.
But
do that.
But I do it in a sense of like
iconic.
No.
Legendary?
The best.
I mean, the GOAT?
The single greatest human to ever work on earth?
I think I do it in a literal way, though. Like, I have always done it first, and then someone at the company or someone else has taken it
fearless
to the next level. Mm. And fearless? I'm kind of happy with that. Like, I'm... Yeah, all right. Fuck it. Fearless, I guess. Yeah.
No, really,
I think all of these things are a little bit dramatic when we're talking about, you know, social media accounts and content and whatnot. But
why? Like honestly, like if you think about
things, I don't think anybody should be afraid. There's no fear, you know, like
brother, I have good news for you. The entire world's afraid.
Yeah.
The only thing that's happening right now is fear.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what this podcast is about for me personally? Building blocks to eliminate fear.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Friendship is how you eliminate fear. Back to interracial marriages. What's going on in the Middle East right now? Like, the only way things happen good is if people become friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they don't look like each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Friends. Everyone's...
Yeah, no, I get that. I just didn't want to be dramatic about it, but I do think dramatic.
We're just talking
we'll
about
always...
To your point, we're just talking about content. But guess what?
Yeah.
Like, what's sports? Do you know this? You're just... Like, a lot of us are... Let's use this as a theme. Athletes used to not get paid a lot of money in 1930, 40, 50.
Yep.
Do you know how much more famous a pilot was in America?
Yeah.
Outside of Mickey Mantle? Like the 1982 NBA Finals was on tape delay.
Right, that's crazy.
It wasn't aired live because it was not popular.
I didn't know that.
It wasn't really until like Magic and Bird where they really became like elite.
So I don't know, like content, like did you hear what Law said? She watched Hannah Montana. She watched
that ass. Love you, Miley, if you're watching this.
She watched Miley be in a Nickelodeon show, and it changed her life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, we may say, like, listen, every time we make a piece of content, this included, I'm hoping one of the four of us says something for Not PCX on Twitch, mm-hmm. or Juan Gibberitz, or Bless Downstairs, or the millions that will listen over the next 3 years of this podcast. I'm hoping we say one thing.
Right.
And by the way, entertainment, which is what you do, that's escapism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. What is movies and music and sports?
Yeah.
It's letting us deal with the fucking hardships of the world. Like, everything is, I could be super stressed and I have a lot going on in my life, but it's Sunday at 4:25 p.m. this Sunday, I don't care about anything
but beat
the fucking Buffalo Bills.
Hey, well, they've been struggling lately, so.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
So, that's trust so me, different though. Yeah.
Never, never, never hedge on that.
Interception coming.
Yeah, what do you think?
I would say complete and curious.
Do you feel complete?
I want that.
I feel the most complete in my life that I have. I know that I'm not.
Let me ask you
complete.
A different question. Yes, I love that. What about content? Because I'm curious how you define complete versus content. Because I see people think content bad, and I think content greatest state of humanity.
Yeah.
When you're content but hungry, mm-hmm. like that's how I feel. That's why I jumped on that.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm good at all moments. I've been good. Because I also got raised right before I even started.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why I think everything's happening. Mm-hmm. I don't need another good thing to happen.
You're set, yeah.
I'm good, but I want to fucking tear it all down.
Oh, slave for sure. So I would say, like, content to me...
is complacent?
A little bit.
Yeah, this is why I'm fascinated by this word. This is why I'm playing with this right now.
Yeah,
because
my
baseline is, like, I'm grateful. I feel like I can make the best of any situation. But I feel like for so long in my life, I was doing things probably for other people. Mm-hmm. Now I said, fuck it. I'm doing things for myself, building things. But I'm also curious in trying new things. Like,
yeah, like it.
You know, I'm in the gaming space. I'm doing Twitch. I'm trying. Mm. And these are things I never would have
Liz
done
for
before.
Short. I'm not trying to change his word. I actually, Liz for short said Gary out here trying to change his word. I'm not actually. I'm like so fascinated by his word. And sometimes in my excitement and fascination, I'll jump in and I get why you felt that and I understand that. No, it's actually, I'm like so impressed by that word. And I'm also fascinated by content. Mm-hmm. And then he followed it up with the word that I think we're both foundationally grounded in, which is gratitude. Mm-hmm. When you're actually grateful, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a wrap. It's why gratitude, and by the way, what I'm setting up here is what I've been trying to figure out, like listening to y'all. My big thing with Feed Friends when I start doing animation and books and like build this out is it's actually never one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's gratitude mm-hmm. and curiosity. Like I think people are trying to solve things with one thing.
Yeah.
And when I'm looking at it, right?
Yeah.
These are ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
This is why Feed Friends, the way they're gonna solve shit is more like I need three of them to save the day.
Sure.
Gratitude Gorilla and Curious Crane need to go to him and be like, no, you got this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anyone on earth is talking about gratitude and curiosity together in an intense way to solve the anxiety and unhappiness and worry that everyone's laying at home with.
Yeah.
And I think we're trying to solve with one trait when it's a mix of three.
Sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I agree. And I just being curious, I feel secure to a point now where I can go and if I make a mistake or something doesn't, you know, it flops, it's like, all right, fuck it. Like, I'm good. Like,
that, I feel like that you got, when you get to lose, when you get beyond that point, I feel like that is a very critical point of almost any career. Like, because there is, to go back to that fear thing, there are so many people afraid to do something and it doesn't blow up and you're not famous right away and you don't get the views. But I hit a moment like a couple years ago that was very, It was the very corny, like, there's no such thing as failure. It was just, like, learning a lot. Like, One Minute Man, we started in 2017, and it worked, and it was doing well, and then Facebook changed their algorithm. The views plummeted. It kind of fell off, and I was like, all right, like, I failed. That sucks. And then the pandemic hits. Instagram's doing some shit with their user-generated content, and all of a sudden it comes, you know, back. And it was like our guy's email being like, we need short form video that's topical. And I was like, I can do this. I've already done this.
Yeah.
And when I thought it was a failure, I like slid it back in. And then this time it grows. And I was like, oh, wow, that was not in the moment. I thought it was a failure. And then 3, 4, 5 years later, I realized, oh, no. It was just wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right situation. And now it is. So then I was like, how many other things am I right now failing at that? I'm like, oh, I got to wait till I'm
you know, 40, 42, 46, 40. And then those things become.
Let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. This, the world, and I'd love to get all three of your perspective. The world is so absolute. Even think about this conversation. Winning, failing, mm-hmm. working, mm-hmm. not working.
Sure.
Going back to a little bit what you touched on, brother, like for me, and I'm curious, Law, you know, you're so early in your career, like things mm-hmm. are starting to happen for you. Like, mm-hmm. like, you know, knowing your ambition, if Hannah Montana is that North Star, like you're trying to be as famous as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And then, and so I think about like a couple things that I'd love to get your, all three of your reactions to. My big thing is like, even the frameworks of winning and losing, like it's why I love process. Like mm-hmm. my great dream is that the world redefines success.
Yeah.
So like to me, the reason that was really interesting for me, KFC, is that to me, if I'm just doing what I want to be doing, is I of course I want it to do well.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I'm just like secretly, and this is maybe the Jets fandom in me, real talk, secretly, and I'm curious because you now all three of you have had more wins mm-hmm. in the way the world defines it mm-hmm. than the 8 billion people, on average of 8 billion people on Earth.
Right.
Mm. Yep.
So I'm actually really curious where you're gonna, all three can take this. For me, if people fall in love with the process, like actually, mm-hmm. and I don't know, I feel like I'm in some weird next level of this video game where I almost like when it's not working more.
Yeah, the grind. Yeah, it's like a new version of the process.
Like the Gary thing fucked me up because like now I've gotten to a place that I don't like as much as I did 10 years ago where people actually like do think it's gonna work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like secretly, I like where BeFriends is right now.
Yeah.
Because I don't think people like really, like I can't wait for, like I'm enjoying, I want to be underrated at all times. Mm-hmm. And the more success you pile on, it gets
harder.
It's
harder to be underrated.
When I was in my dad's liquor store at 32, at 32, and my friends from high school and college came to buy wine and liquor, and I would ring them up at the register and bring the case of wine to their BMW because they worked mm-hmm. in Wall Street, mm-hmm. wow. And they would drive off, and I was working in my dad's store at 30, how old are you?
38.
Beautiful. Like 35, 38, ladies, we don't, but like, you know, but like, I just want you to hear this. At 34 years old, I worked in a liquor store.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And people walking in and like, I saw what they looked at. I know what judgment looks like.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah.
Well, you also had a bit of a glow up too.
It's easy to pick it up.
Yeah, but you know what? When you have the glow up in your head that you've already been glown.
Right.
Because you're just in your zone.
Right.
That's
regardless
how you do it.
If you get to the place you got to or not. People, like I wish people knew how happy I was then.
In that moment.
Yeah. I feel like people can feel that though. Like if you, you know, like how you carry yourself and what you exude, that like that it shines through for sure. But maybe they were just too blind to see it or they're focused on so many different things.
Well, they also, their definition is different than your definition. You know?
This is the whole point. Can we, like, to me, Law won. And I don't believe I mean it, Law. And I don't
Ladies
think,
always win.
And I don't.
We're getting the brand.
We're getting the point here.
Air Force, I learned this. I'm gonna agree.
Yeah. No, but listen, this is real talk. Like,
but winning is not an event, though. I feel like that's kind of why, like, that's why I put it in my brand, is that I don't think winning is, like, at the end of a day or at the end of, like, a game, like, you won this or you lost this. Winning is, like, a lifestyle, and it's just something that, like, you do in your day-to-day. I feel like it's
but can you live it?
Yeah, because it's not.
So here's the question. Professionally, what today, actually, paint a picture for the audience, because mm-hmm. I want to get to know, where do you think you are in your career? Like, the way we all define
you know
it, like
ironic?
I'm on the come up, I got a co-sign from this, I had a flop, I have a song coming out tomorrow that's gonna, like, where are you in your career for all
sir,
of the audience?
Sir, I'm gonna be real
yes,
with
ma'am.
You.
Yes, ma'am.
I thought I was at a certain point, and I feel like, I think I'm at a point right now where people, like, know who I am. You know, I had a pretty viral moment, right?
Tell everybody, because I'm telling you, this is the big thing, like, all of you got things, but, like, my audience comes from so, like, there's a lot of different, mm-hmm. and I want them to hear it.
Yeah.
And this is for y'all. So what was your viral moment?
I had a couple viral moments. So I first went viral in 2021 for doing a loyalty test, the most random thing on earth. My friend's boyfriend was cheating on her. I made a TikTok and went viral. Mm-hmm. I became very known for doing this, but obviously I was doing music. So then when I did that, I had a first song that came out, my first song ever that came out. It started doing well. I made a different TikTok account that was strictly for music. And then I posted my song, Why Me? It has like 5 million streams. So everybody's like, you know, whatever, it's having its moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think I kind of like lost where I was going with that.
Where you
were.
So I think people know, they know who I am. I think that I would go like live on TikTok and people would be like, oh, you're the girl that made that Why Me song. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, so like there's people who know the song who don't know of me. But then I was at ShopRite yesterday and then Rich had texted me and was like, hey, like, are you like mad casual? He was just like, hey, are you like free tomorrow? I think that you're going to be like on like the Gary Vee podcast. And I was like, I feel like you're asking me this a little bit too casual for this too, but I think it is. So, and then like once I got the grist, the whole night I was thinking, you know, I feel as though I'm like cool, right? People know me, but I'm not like these people, right? I was like looking at all you guys and I'm like, how did I get here? Like, how am I sitting at this table with these people that are like so much more qualified than me and like so much more this? So I don't know where I'm at. I don't. This kind of fucked me up because I'm like, I could, maybe I'm in a different, I don't know how people view me at this point. I'm at a place where I want to keep going. So
I don't
like,
even like a word like qualified now. I don't even know what the fuck that means anymore.
Yeah.
It like it used like certain industries and jobs, like a lawyer, a doctor, you have to like literally get a qualification.
Yeah. Sports bracket, now broadcasting, it's like, you don't need to go to fucking Fordham or Syracuse to crush.
No, man. Also, no, I got my MBA. Throw that out the fucking window.
Says,
you know,
what do
like,
you do? Like, what's your title? Like, now
everybody's everyone's a Renaissance man and woman. I love,
but also it can be like,
go ahead.
I'm 18 years old and I made the right video and I popped off and that's how I have my fans. Or
literally,
I'm 50 and I grinded for 25 years and then I had my moment. But it's like, I don't know if you can fill a room selling tickets or get your streams on your music or, you know, get people to watch your film, whatever it is. It's like, then that's, I'm qualified. You know what I mean?
Here's why. The internet decentralized everything.
Right. The great equalizer.
Qualified used to be systems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now
yeah.
qualified's the world.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Let me give you a little history lesson on my business career. When I started doing public speaking and was cursing and not wearing a suit, everyone told me, you'll never be a big speaker.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
And I was like, I'm not capable
like,
of doing
fuck
anything.
You.
By the way, in real talk, it wasn't like fuck you. It was definitely confidence.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't think so. But it was like, if I don't, that's okay. Cause I don't even like talking that way. Like I won't like, this goes back to process.
Yeah.
Redefining success.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't gonna define my success based on my speaking fee or how many people went to my talks. I was gonna define it based on not even selling out. I didn't view it as selling out. I didn't view me wearing a suit and not cursing as selling out. It wasn't that cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was, I'm not capable of enjoying it.
Yeah,
right.
This is my report card, right? Okay. I'm not a dummy. I'm not an idiot.
Oh, it's your literal report card?
It's my literal
report. Oh, wow. You got an F in German?
Twice.
Why would I fucking take a German in the first place?
I thought it was close to Russian. I fucked up.
What?
German is real tough. I went to high school. They're like, what language? I'm like, German's probably close to Russian. I'll crush it. F, freshman year. F, sophomore year. Look at junior year. I had to take Spanish 1. I'm a junior in Spanish 1. There's like a fourth graders in there. I'm like, yeah, what's good?
This was awful.
What? Junior year, I fucked up heavy.
How did you pass?
They just pushed my ass through. Look at my class rank.
They didn't want to see you anymore.
Tell them my class rank.
243 out of what?
Out of? It's right there, right next to it.
Please don't say 250. 254?
Well.
Look what I got. Tell them what I got in speech. Back to how school doesn't map real life.
Yeah, no.
In speech class, giving speeches.
Where the hell is speech?
I think it was sophomore year, maybe 10th grade.
I got an F in reading, I guess. Oh, speech, D. D as
in
dog.
Meanwhile.
Bro, I got a D in speech. Everybody got an A in that class. Yeah, all you had to do was write a speech, go in front of the class, and give the speech, and you got an A.
Hey, my man got an A in phys ed.
How?
You got an A in gym class, baby.
No. All 4 years. By the way, that's all 4 years. Please tell them the only A's I got in high school. Yeah. Start with ninth grade, KFC.
Ninth grade, you got an A in phys ed. 10th grade, you got an A in phys ed.
There it is.
These are the only A's I got.
The
11th
only
grade?
A phys ed, and senior year, phys ed. No, you got two. Health class.
Friends,
you got an A in health.
I was what they called a gym class hero. Yeah. I wasn't good enough to.
Cues music.
Guys, if high school gym was actual sports, I'm a first ballot.
What's your favorite gym class game ever?
Floor hockey. Floor hockey. I used to kill motherfuckers.
Dude, we used to curve curve the fuck out of the stick to the point that it was like a hook.
Oh, yeah.
And
you
could,
it was like highlight.
I was the dumbest fool.
Nobody in the history of gym tried harder than me.
Did you play mat ball?
Did you do mat ball?
Yeah, no, we
mat ball is either like
I think
it's like a regional thing, though. Like, a lot of people don't even know mat ball.
It's just kickball and mats.
But it's like you got to run around twice and you're playing dodgeball kind of. We played pickleball in high school. Pickleball's having its big moment now. When I was in high school,
my gym teachers,
we had rankings on the wall. Gym teachers were playing kids.
Pickleball
was
what about the mushroom?
Let's get back to track. Here we go. Ready? To help the audience. You guys are running in circles of people that are trying to achieve in different genres. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about, we've talked a little bit about ourselves. Let's talk about perspectives. If I asked you, because I want to help a lot of the kids that are listening and really the parents that are, everybody is now going to be famous to 15 people. Like the world changed.
Yeah. The word,
right?
Yeah.
Like
the word
every
fame
15
is
year old is trying to be on this podcast. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're like it's over. The cat's out of the bag. Nobody's behind the scenes. Right. Even though my D-Rock was not like people. Nobody's fucking behind the scenes. Dustin's fucking super cool. Yeah. All right, here we go. For everybody who's listening.
Even Dustin's cool.
For everyone who's listening. What is the common, this is going to really be fun. We'll go in reverse order. I'll give you a little time to think.
Thanks, Gary.
Reality, TV, sports, Hollywood, now land. You've been playing in a bunch of lands in your young life.
Yeah.
What's the cliche, very common mistake you see of your contemporaries, the people you look up to, the people that are on the come up, the people that are in the trenches with you at these parties, at these meetings, at these events? What's the cliche mistake that you think that your contemporaries, friends, acquaintances are making that's leading them to not be as happy as they can be?
I feel like they're doing what everyone else is doing or just trying to...
School, right? Meaning like, because everyone's doing this...
Or it's like this is... Or they're looking for the answers. I was actually thinking about this the other day because, you know, I've especially in the last few years, especially since reality television... I really pivoted because I didn't want to be in a box that everyone else in that world is. And I kind of went against the grain, but I feel like it's safe to be with a crowd. Yeah. And I feel like we gravitate towards that because, you know, we want to have people around us. But
is it that we want people around us or is that we don't want to stand out to be different to deal with the ramifications of not being, or more importantly, the ramifications of being seen?
Yeah, I think people are afraid to be seen, judged. You know, and when you're out there, again, I say like the greatest thing for me that happened is I was judged my whole life. And once I finally got
it was
tired,
easier for you. You were built.
Yeah, you're
for
like
it.
Prepped.
Yeah.
For it.
By the time you went into reality TV world, between sports and between being the only black kid in South Dakota at school your whole life, you were used to being judged.
Yeah. I'm like, this was an experience, but I was like, I'm not cut from that cloth. That's not my world. Yeah. But now I'm building, everything I've ever wanted to. And I'm doing this. Without as much guidance as you would think, but I am certain that I'm going to get there. Mm-hmm. And I've got amazing people around me who I trust like through the moon. And you know, they're leaders in the industry. So
do you feel like back to the conversation we're having, do you feel like even if everything you try to make in film, storytelling, shows does not have commercial success, that you'll deem it a win, or you're not completely sure?
I without question, it's a win.
Yeah, you're in the process. I love it. I'm gonna skip for a second.
Yeah.
I apologize, but like I fucking want that for everyone. It makes me so happy for you. You can't imagine.
Yeah, this is exactly
KFC, your world. You've been in the modern media world at the highest levels.
Yep.
So there's been all the other things that have come up that have looked the part of y'all in different genres. You've been in a lot of events. What are you seeing?
I think it's almost, there's no correct answer, but I would say.
No, there's no correct.
But I think there almost is, man, in the sense of comparison, dude.
Comparison.
What is it? Comparison is the thief of joy is the line, right? Like to me.
Very true.
I watched it. I did it myself because it was like, I got to make my blog this good. And I did that. And then I added a podcast and I got to make my podcast that good. And then I got to make my video series that good. And every time if you were to tell me, 5 years ago, you were going to have your podcast was going to be this successful. I would be like, oh, I would be putting my feet up being like, I'm done. I did it.
I'm chilling.
Like I'm that successful. I, that's all I ever wanted. And it's like that, that goal in a good way. It's good to be driven, but also it's like you're just constantly comparing to who's next and what's next. And the amount of people, I think, especially, you know, at Barstool, it's like,
of course,
you're next to Dave Portnoy, pardon my take, Alex Cooper, people who are like, you can't reach their level if you were to fucking hit the lottery tomorrow. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, so you
start, or you might.
You might, but I'm saying, comparing yourself to them is not going to get you anywhere.
And why didn't you compare yourself to them long before they were them? See, this is what I'm trying to tell all my friends. I'm like, fuck it, you want to compare? Why don't you compare yourself? Do you know how many, I mean, I did it already in this show. Do you know how many times I fucking pound? I worked in a fucking liquor store at 34 because all these fucking 27-year-olds are like, why am I not a fucking trillionaire?
Yeah, yeah,
I'm like,
because
you're fucking 27.
Right.
Yeah.
And they get so down to play this fucking game.
Like, the amount of people who come through Barstool, email, come through, call in, and they say, like, I've got what it takes. I want to do it. I'm going to work so hard at it. I want to be like you. And we're like, cool, do it. Write a blog, start a podcast.
They don't.
They give up in a fucking 2 days, dude. Like 2 days. I'm like, do this for 4 years straight with no feedback, no money, no nothing. And then we can start talking.
People are like, I want to be famous. I want to live a 1% life. I'm like, eat shit for a decade.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? I'm like, you want to live 1% life.
You have to like it. Like when I'm trying to help people now at Barstool more like produce. And it's like, if it doesn't make money right away, get followers right away, get views right away. Like when I was starting the podcast, I still don't look at the downloads.
Yeah.
I never looked at the page views. I never looked at, it was just because I liked doing it.
Real quick, we're going to interject for a second. Big shout out to MJS3169 who says that crooked picture frame is making me lose my mind.
Oh, the Uber. What is that?
Read it, KFC. Read what that frame says.
I want to say thank you.
Uber.
There we go.
Mm. This is from James at Uber. Hey, AJ, I wanted to say thank you for being our first ever Uber rider in New York. How was your experience?
One more time. Let's start that from the top.
James at Uber to AJ Marichuk. Hey, AJ, I wanted to say thanks for being our first ever Uber driver in New York. How was your experience?
Period. Let's stop.
Crazy.
Talk about making tons of mistakes in a career. Travis, CEO of Uber, is in my office in New York, early days of Vayner. We're early investors in Uber. He's like, hey, we're about to open New York. Do you want to go downstairs and do the first test run? I'm like, I'm busy. I'm in this meeting.
You dickhead.
I'm like, I said, AJ, do me a favor. Go take this Uber.
Go take
so
the
I sent my brother.
Uber ride ever
do you guys
York
understand
City?
How yeah. often I would tell this fucking story? My brother, AJ, took the first Uber
that's kinda
in
sick.
New I mean, York that's City. Do you know what fucking fun fact that is? Do you know when
that's
you like
wild.
Have a meeting or something? People are like, hey, what's a fun fact? You're like, yeah, I took the first Uber in New York. What the fuck out of here? That's so epic.
It was a base fare of $7. Distance was $6.76.
What day was that email sent?
April 8th, 2011.
Wow. This goes back to the theme of everything. Shit takes
time
a long
flies.
Time.
Yeah.
Shit takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't understand. Like, you know what I mean? Like, shit takes a long time.
Yeah.
All right. Let's all open a pack.
Yeah, why did you have me open
Yeah, I
this?
Had you to open a mini. These were in vending machines. I just wanted to see if you liked it. Remember these things when you were little, like for 50 cents?
He's freaking me out a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, the comparison thing's so real, brother. Like,
bro, you know, I've been saying, like, I used the analogy I've been using is a swimming pool. I feel like people want to get a swimming pool, right?
Oh, this is
they
for you.
Curious?
Yeah.
Crane.
Hell yeah.
Like trading cards.
And then you get your swimming pool and you never fucking swim in your swimming pool. You know what I mean? Like you think, I want to buy this
100%.
House. And it's like, get in the pool. You wanted the pool and now you got it and you're not swimming in the pool.
Everybody wants a big house and they don't use 85% of the
totally,
rooms.
Totally.
Thanks.
Yeah. And then,
What's your favorite one of the bunch?
Hot shit hornet.
Bro, I can't even.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
Mature.
Did you come up with all of these?
I drew every one of them. See that jacko?
But did you come up with the names?
Everything. Created this whole world.
What is this alien one?
Adaptable alien.
Impeccable.
Instranate. That's Russian for alien.
Got it. I was gonna say this is not a real animal. I know that much.
No, it's an alien.
I can't believe that. How many? Like
two. There's 280 V friends. So
I came up with all of them.
Yeah. Yep, wow. I was super affected by like He-Man, Transformers. Mm-hmm. I'm 48, so I grew up in the 80s when like all that shit, Care Bears, like all that shit that rebooted for all of you. I was there when it actually first popped off, mm-hmm. you know? And so, it's pretty cool. And something I've always really, really, really wanted to do, I wanted to buy an old brand. So like for the last 15 years, I thought I was gonna buy Scooby-Doo or buy the Smurfs, buy the IP and then refurbish it. But
that's
then
so
when,
cool.
But then when I saw the blockchain NFT thing, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna do the shit myself.
Why don't you do both?
That's I true. May.
Because I think there's a may, smash brother. Hit there. If you bring
listen,
back.
Listen, if I you know? If I over the next 30 years build VeeFriends the way I hope to, then I become like a Disney. Disney built and then they bought Lucas,
if
Star
you
Wars.
Buy
then
one
they
of
bought
those...
Marvel.
That's true.
So look, I'm 48. In 20 years, if I do this proper and I'm 68 and this brand's really established, building an IP holding company and going out and buying, you know, a Nickelodeon IP or or Scooby-Doo will be really cool. But right now, I've literally so much work to do to build this up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I really believe in it. Like if you look at the, like back to like kind of the theme of this and like the theme of my life and why I built these characters and why this podcast I think will work is like these themes of these characters or what we're talking about, it's real life. Mm-hmm. And for me, if I can teach people at 5, 6, 7, 8, like accountable ant. Actually, let's talk about this. Let me talk about accountable ant. Accountable ant is like a character I'm like really hot on because I think what's fucked up with the world right now is lack of accountability. It's everybody else's fault. It's the government's fault.
Brother.
It's Biden's fault. It's Trump's mentality. Fault. Yeah. It's your mom's fault. It's your dad's fault. Yeah. It's this company's fault. It's social media's fault. It's Kanye's fault. It's my this. It's everyone's this, fucking
so
fault.
By yourself.
So, right? Yeah, I'm real curious. What's your relationship with accountability? Be as honest, self-aware, humble, but speak your truth. Like, where do you think you are on your journey on accountability? I actually find music artists incredibly bad at accountability. It's everyone's fault, but their music is
you know what's so funny?
The problem.
Yeah.
So but it's always your music's the problem.
The answer that I was gonna give to the first question, right, like that I see people in music do wrong,
yes,
is I think that they put too much emphasis and they expect like their success to come through like someone else. So they expect like a manager.
Right, the manager's gonna do it.
Yeah, PR.
The label's
label.
Gonna do it.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't actually.
TikTok's gonna put me on.
Yeah, they don't realize like you
Drake's
have to do.
Drake's gonna give me a cosign.
The
yeah.
work
it's
themselves.
His fault for not fucking with me.
Literally, yeah, yeah.
Right.
So I would say that I agree with that. I think accountability, oddly for me, I think that's like a superpower of mine. Like when I was a kid, I used to tell on myself. So if I did anything wrong,
you own shit.
Yeah. Like if I broke something, my brother was older than me. He'd be devising
a
plan.
Here's a big one. Here's a big one for everyone on Twitch. Big shout out to everybody. Den Jets, what's good? Majestical. Accountability, but not going too far where you beat yourself up.
Yeah.
Are you hard on yourself or have you found the balance of accountability? Because to me, it's completely not accountable. Everyone's fault. The beauty, the middle, accountability,
and then
the place that
fault.
I get scared of when people
I'm
start
on
shitting
the
on themselves
yeah.
and beating themselves up,
yeah.
And that's not accountability. That's not a good relationship with yourself.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, I don't know, yeah, I always took a lot of accountability when I was growing up. So I look at situations like, if I'm upset about something or at somebody else, like my kind of framework that I work through is like, what did I do in this situation?
Good for
like
you.
What is my participation?
So you feel like you're in a good place with it?
Yeah, yeah. I can like really do that.
I feel like to throw around a buzzword, I got that imposter syndrome big time.
Yep.
Yeah, where I feel like I'm hyper self-aware to the point that I'm always
and you
like
know
downplaying.
Imposter syndrome is the new slang for insecurity,
yes.
right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah,
I just
want
to make sure everyone out there
I realize that today.
Has let's nail that down once and for all. We've cutened up this word.
Yeah.
It's insecurity, which
right.
is amazing.
Or like uncertainty.
Yeah. It's okay.
And but
we're all insecure about
but there,
some
there is a level to me
Go ahead.
Of like when I'm doing this, some of the very great opportunities, some of the people I've talked to, I'm like, I didn't even really try to do this, plan to do this. I am really just a regular ass dude. And
well,
the beauty of the world
so
is like
great,
that's
though.
People like me get to do that now.
Yeah, of course.
But I still think we as a society, that's still a relatively new thing.
It is.
You used to have to be trained or famous or look a certain way or act a certain way.
That first book in the corner that I wrote in 2009, Crush It.
Yeah.
When I wrote that and said this was gonna happen.
Yeah.
I got shit on.
Right. No, you got to be somebody,
but I was like,
right?
But I knew YouTube and Twitter were going to be the
we're gonna
foundation.
Make the normal
I
people.
Knew
so,
it.
Yeah,
I knew
so
it.
I feel like I'm one of those first ones where I'm like, but so
no
I'm constantly
question.
Like, I don't know, man. I don't have the answers. I don't know the plan. I'm just fucking like
yeah,
regular
you,
dude.
Yeah,
you know?
But listen, first of all, back to like me being a fan of yours, you know what you talk about. Like, you know your craft of sports.
I don't ever, yeah, I stay in my zone. Because I'm like, then,
that's exactly
yeah,
right.
like, I like, know what I know.
Yeah, you know what you know.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah,
you're
yeah.
likable.
And I know what I don't
you're
know.
You're likable because you have that relationship with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I don't think people think I'm likable.
I don't believe that at all. I understand where you're going.
Yeah.
Because you play sports. Like, people, Chris Russo is incredibly likable and infuriating.
Yes.
And you've got a little bit of that in you, for sure. That's your, not your shtick, it's your communication style in that format. I love what you said. I'm a communicator. Mm. Me too.
Yeah.
But I'm a different communicator to my best friend and my family than I am as Gary Vee, than I am as Gary Vaynerchuk,
when you're watching
the CEO.
The Jets game.
Even the CEO of Gary Vaynerchuk for VFriends is a different communicator than Gary Vaynerchuk, the CEO of VaynerX. Like, there's different versions of it. I think the genre you're in.
Yep.
Is that like, yes, do I think people are
polarizing,
like, fuck, of course. But sports talk is polarizing.
Yes. I think it just, but as long as you're genuine and real about it.
I think you, the human, is like,
yes, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Accountability is something I don't shy away from. If anything, I look forward to it.
Do you think you overextend at times and try to take it on when it's not even yours?
I think I don't beat myself up over it, because if my integrity is right, then
if you're good with you, then you're good.
Yeah, because I know that. I make the right prudent choice. But I do probably try to cover up for other people's mistakes too many times.
Superhero type.
If I could just shout out PPWBHLN that said nice things about me.
Ben's
regular ass dude who works hard.
Ben's 1173, KFC not likable. Ben's 1173, KFC not likable. I like that guy. All right. Final part of the show, question time. This is your time to go selfish.
Okay.
Like, really, I got a lot of love for you all. Obviously, I know you all from afar in different ways, a little bit closer with KFC than you two, but like, you know, like, we're really excited here in my world. Like, I'm in this great place where I'm like obsessed with putting people on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been that guy. That's why I've always talked about the people behind my scenes. The first wine show I did, Eric Kastner, and then Chris Mott, M-O-T-T, was my camera guy. It was so basic, no lighting, no audio, no nothing. And I used to be like, Mott, link it up. People thought I was saying Ma. People are like, it's so in the comments.
His mom.
Your mom. It's so cool. Your mom feels. You're like, no, Mott. But like,
no.
D-Rock, obviously, I don't have to tell that story. A lot of people know it. Like, I love putting people on. And so I really hope Vayner Nation, please make sure you dig into all of the, obviously, in our social content, we'll link all these three amazing people up, get to know them, get on their journey. But back to wrapping it up in the format I want to do on this show. Any question I can answer about any single thing, could be fun, it could be detailed, it could be about your career, it could be a funny thing. Like, what do you got? What are you thinking about that might be something I might be able to help with?
I would say, so I feel like you are somebody like in, you know, life and in, you know, the specter of people on the internet, that I feel like you did a lot of things that like have never been done before.
Yep.
Meaning like you didn't have like an example. You didn't have like
a
roadmap.
That's why I like him, because I think he touched on, KFC touched on it. I think he's done similar stuff. I've done a lot of it for a long time. So I understand it and I appreciate that. And I do like that. So go ahead.
Yeah. So what would you say like the most valuable thing that you did in that journey is, and why? Like that got you there, that you think is valuable. Like, not like the numbers or like.
I think the number one word that I'm obsessed with that none of you fuck with is maybe.
I just heard something about that. So that's really funny.
Like just maybe?
No.
No, like the word maybe. Like maybe this will work out.
Maybe.
Oh, okay.
My word in life is maybe, and y'all's word is yes or no, predominantly no.
Mm-hmm.
Like I saw Casey Neistat and all those early vloggers who would do the camera by themselves. I was like, I want to do that shit, but I don't know how to do that shit. So I'm like, maybe I'll have a guy follow me 24/7.
Yeah.
I wasn't unaware that everyone was going to immediately think I'm the douchiest person on human earth. Because unlike a TV production following a reality star, which we finally accepted 10 years in, I was doing it as like a regular dude.
Why the fuck does this guy have a...
I mean, like literally my first meeting at Barstool with Erica, like a man walked in and was filming. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I film everything. She's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, I film everything. This is how I vlog. But now it is like standard.
Yeah,
it's the norm.
Like even David Rock, D-Rock, big shout out D-Rock, who's now going on and building his universe, was with me for a decade. That became the term that people called people that filmed people. I need a D-Rock.
It became
that crazy. So I'm always about maybe I should buy a house on Mars. Maybe I should.
Like, so you just go 100%
AI,
on a maybe.
AI right now, everyone's like, oh, that shit's gonna fuck us up. The robots are gonna kill us. And fuck that shit. It's gonna make music. I'm like, no, maybe.
Right.
Because what maybe does, back to Curious Crane, is maybe makes you work.
Mm-hmm.
The reason people say no is if you say no,
you don't have to work.
You
have to do it.
Now I got you, motherfuckers. Now you heard. No's easy.
Yeah.
Because no allows you not to do.
Yeah.
Right.
All of you know. I know this one's going to land for all of you. All of you heard me in 2017, 18 saying TikTok, 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 TikTok.
Yeah.
And all of you said, girls that dance, nobody gives
musically,
a fuck.
Musically, musically, music, man.
That's right, because I was saying music. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then all, you know, so like, you know, for me, it's maybe, and I hope everybody gets inspired. I wish I made a maybe character. I might, I do think long term there will be new fee friends. I've got so many, I don't need to do it. But
a maybe moose,
maybe magpie.
Yeah,
you know what a magpie is?
No,
it's a bird. It's fucking fresh. We have a magpie. Anyway, KC, question.
These are real animals?
Yeah. Open one more pack. Open the pack. We have
National
Nobody's opened a good one. Let's get a rare one. KC, ask him. You can do two things at once.
Yeah. Oh, I got a shiny one. What do I got here? I got Insightful Irish Terrier.
You like Irish Terriers? Ooh, a hit, a rare.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's holographic.
Let's go, yeah.
Out of 500.
I guess I'm at a spot with Barstool. You know, it's a very interesting spot of like, it's been a very tumultuous ride the last year. We're kind of in like a transitional thing. Yeah. Like
sold back this, yeah, that, yeah. Dave,
and it's like, okay, we were gambling, yep, but I didn't gamble. Yep. Now gambling's out of the picture.
Yep.
Sometimes I feel like I'm like, am I not? I've been there for 15 years. It's almost amazing. 15 years, right?
What a run.
But I'm like, and part of me, the way this is set up right now, is kind of like, we could just do this forever.
And you're worried about complacency?
Kind of.
Yeah,
it's like, a great question. You know, should I like be like, I'm going to go do my version of Portnoy's thing. Like, thank you. Take the equity.
Yep.
Great time.
Yep.
Fuck it. I'm out.
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. It's like,
is it loyalty?
Yeah.
Is it fear?
Big all that loyalty,
it's all
fear.
It goes
it's
back
easy.
It's easy.
Like the first 15 years were hard, and it's very
right.
strange
it's like,
spot.
I
where
ate all
I'm
this
done.
Shit to get here.
Yeah,
now
I'm
good.
Gonna do
I'm gonna
it
go
again.
Do it again.
And it's like, and I'm not very like money driven. Like I got this money recently that I was very blessed to have, and like my life has not changed much one way or the other. So I'm like, it's
can
not
I,
really about more
I,
money.
Can I tell you something really good here? I like this one. The answer is, and this is a weird one, it doesn't matter until the day these feelings hit a tipping point in either direction.
Right, and then you know, right?
And
it just
you know.
Happens, yeah.
Too many people get caught up in the ideology of the process versus the actuality of the process. Do you know why I was bad at school? Because it wasn't real to life.
Right.
And at 10 years old, I'm like, this isn't real.
Right.
Now, I have no idea how the fuck that happened. No, really, yeah. I mean, I really don't know, but I'm telling you real talk to you three and everyone listening, I just knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if that's true, and I fully believe it, not on some, I was getting good grades at that point. I was just like, this isn't real.
Yeah.
And so like you, in your own mind, it's actually not real until it's so in your stomach that you have to do one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I'll just hit that breaking point or that fork
in the road.
I think
people would rather think about everything versus wait for the tipping point.
Yeah. So it's just a waiting game.
Yeah.
Which
and
is
so,
like,
and then,
you know.
And then watch this. So now instead of stressing it of what you should do or what am I feeling or all these profound fucking games we play with each other, how about you just enjoy the living shit out of it? And
see
if you just
happens.
Wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning one day and be like, I'm done, then you're done.
Amen.
We need to take weight off our shoulders.
Bro.
Tell me how to
Amen.
Do it. How do you do it?
The way to do it is to start to take out the noise from the world. The world is making everything complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great that's happened. Us jokers can have platforms. We could be live on Twitch and hang out with like all these cool people, Ben's 1173. You know, like we could do all this.
Yeah.
I like Ben's because he razzed you. You know, like, but like, but I think we just need to simplify.
Right.
I got
right.
good news for you because it's how it's going to happen regardless. Regardless of how many sleepless nights or debates or talking with mentors you have.
Mm-hmm.
One day you're going to wake up and it's there or one day you won't. The reason you're not gone yet is it hasn't happened.
Not happened yet, yeah.
So why not instead of that and like stressing it, why
enjoy
not just
ride.
Enjoy it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Swim in the pool.
And swim in the pool.
Yeah.
And then if you fucking want to sell the house with the pool, sell the fucking house with the pool.
Amen.
Got it?
Cool.
My man?
I think for me, the biggest thing right now is kind of patience. I'm working on some big projects that are long builds with the strike, with you know the economy, but three big docuseries. And I see them so clearly that like this is my calling. These are going to happen. I know that.
Good for you.
But that process of just patience, especially when there's so many other things I can't control and I like to execute quick.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I'm just curious like how you practice patience.
Keep up with it. Why, the question becomes why? In a world where you're so good at managing judgment, I just worry that this is the blind, in the same way that I didn't see that candor was fucking me up, because I always wanted to keep it positive. I wasn't able to tell people shit that was fucked up and that actually led to the fucked up.
Yep. Mm.
I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
For you, you might not see the place where judgment does matter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because for me, like, why would you be impatient? Play checkers with me on this.
Okay.
It might even be chess, because it's fun. Okay, you got these longer projects, right? Like, I get instant gratification, I get speed of the world, but like, if you're so pumped that this is the thing you're doing, and it sounds like you are.
Yeah.
Like, what's the prob?
Well, I guess it's probably more just anxious because I want this to happen and I believe in it, but.
And you're not in control of it happening. Somebody has to buy it.
It's a control thing.
Netflix may not buy it. Hulu may not buy it, right?
Yeah, and we're Q1, Q2, we're like pitching these.
But you're smart enough to know and educated enough to know that it may not.
Exactly.
The question becomes for you specifically is, do you want it because it becomes something you can point to that starts to move you away from something that you don't want to define you?
I'm not doing it because I don't want to be defined in that
Great.
Way.
Great, beautiful. Then it really just becomes like what? Like there's a million scenarios. I'd love it to be commercially successful so I can get money to do X.
Yeah.
I'm so damn curious if I'm good at it. I'd actually like it to come out to see if it fails or flops just to win or lose. There's a million things that it could be.
Yeah. For me, it's, I believe in the stories and I just, like, I think they need to be told.
Well, then that gets weird. Because if you believe in the stories and they need to be told, you wouldn't be doing it this way because you don't have as much control this way than you do in the modern media world.
Hey, why don't you just put out yourself? Sorry, not that I'm
That's exactly where I'm going.
Well, I mean, I have full creative direction and control on these projects.
But
these
you're putting that format potentially on a pedestal. Because if you really care about these stories need to be told,
yeah,
then there's a very different way about going about it.
What's
social
the best way?
And long form video. Like you could do it constantly at scale until it finally got told. You could literally tell the same story 8,700 different ways on YouTube and social until it was finally told.
Yeah.
Nobody controls your distribution.
Yeah.
But this distribution has a different level of pedestal.
Yeah.
But that's not the purity of wanting the story told. You want the story told in a specific way.
Well, these are projects that I'm, so one's, we're tracking Special Olympics athletes building up to the World Games.
Yes.
I'm a global ambassador for the organization. Yes. My sister has ID.
Yes.
I just feel people haven't told the truthful, like the real story.
But you don't need to do that in a classic production lens. Unless,
no.
Right?
Yeah.
Unless you're using it as the bank, which in that case, you could have went to any brand at Procter & Gamble or Comcast. Like these are like the fun, complicated, tough questions I always love to ask myself.
Yeah.
Why, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
Because the why has the answer to the impatience.
Yeah, and I'm going at it at every single angle. So
I love
all
it.
Those things, there's no like move that's
it.
Unturned.
Friends.
I'm in.
Thank you.
It was an honor.
Thank you for being on this first show.
Thank you for
this version.
This
is lit. We've done something similar to this in the past, as you know. This is the name of it. This is the concept. I hope that you guys, I don't know the three of you, your relationships with each other, but I hope if you were strangers that at least this starts your acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope those acquaintances become friendships. And man, when friends become family, there's nothing fucking better on earth. So thanks for listening, everybody. Twitch, thank you for being a part of this journey. You are part of this journey.
Shout out Twitch.
I've decided to use Twitch exclusively though I know I could stream this everywhere else. It's been a platform that I haven't leaned fully into, so I want to use it exclusive. So for everybody who's listening to this podcast, if you want to catch the podcast while it's happening in the future, that will always be on Twitch. Download a set. Am I Gary VEE on Twitch as well? Beautiful. I keep it consistent.
Don't you get sick of it ever?
Never. Fucking love all
like
of it.
You want like another platform
I want
next year and next
yes.
year and next year?
I can't wait to fucking
so
crush the metaverse.
Dude. I
I'll
keep saying
Mars.
I can't wait till I die.
Just so I don't have to log
I can't
into
wait to wake up
platform.
Tomorrow and there's a new app that's going to be the Nick TikTok. It's called Ding Dong. And I'm like, guys, you got to get on Ding Dong. And if you're not on fucking Ding Dong, you're going to regret it. I fucking love it. Everybody, thank you for being on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll see you next time.